Hello, I'm Justine Willis-Toms. Welcome to the New Dimensions Cafe. Today, I'm hosting Karen Mazin Miller. She is the author of Hand Wash Cold, Care Instructions for an Ordinary Life. She is also a Zen Buddhist priest and a householder. So I'd like to welcome you, Karen, to the cafe.
Thank you. It's lovely to be here.
It's lovely to have you. I would like to, in that introduction, I'm kind of, you're a Zen priest, you're a householder, and you're an author and a writer, and a teacher of meditation as well. How did you bring all of these things together?
Well, the important thing is I finally recognize that I don't have to bring them together because they're already together. And like many, I did think that one part of my life would work in opposition to another. That's not the case at all. So I'm committed to every one of those facets that you mentioned in my job description, and I find that as they come up one at a time, I'm able to give my full attention to them.
So that's an important point, attention. You write about attention in your book, and you use a metaphor of the sun, and how important is our giving attention to one another or to the task we're doing?
It's the most important thing. And in fact, attention is really this power that we have, this sustained awareness that we don't realize that we have, this single-pointed focus and attention to some one thing in our lives. And most of the time, we attend to things that are troublesome. We attend to our fears and our worries and anxieties. We give them the full power of our awareness. We're consumed by them morning, noon, and night. And therefore, we're blind to the reality of life that's right in front of us. And oftentimes, that's our children, you know, particularly when they're young, our partners, our work. And we feel like we're giving short shrift to all of those things. And all we have to do is open our eyes and bring our attention to them.
In your book, you use the metaphor of laundry, of tending the yard and doing the dishes. So talk about that. How can we make those more joyful in our lives?
Well, now, Justine, you're asking me to perform magic. I'm not sure I could do that. My point is this, that we use our lives and devote our lives, I say, to the lives we don't have, ruminating and plotting and scheming, strategizing ceaselessly, either how to get out of the life we have, how to fashion another new improved one. And in that process, we lose sight of really what are the fundamental aspects of life. What's really the stuff of life? And usually, for most of us, it comes down to breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You know, it comes down to the kinds of things that we want to pay no attention to at all. And then we wake up and say, oh, my gosh, I have a feeling of disconnection. You know, I feel alienated. I feel like a stranger in my own home. My family feels like we're falling apart. And so I use them in my life every day to bring myself back at home. In the home I already have, honestly.
So you mean like doing the dishes is bringing you back?
Yes.
Home.
It brings me back to the place I already am. And if I can do that and just keep doing it without bringing the commentary to it that says, oh my gosh, this is so beneath me. Who made this mess? Why am I the one? You see, that's really, we're constructing always this narrative that demeans our life, and that denigrates our life.
I know for myself, as I read that and I really looked at doing the dishes, you have helped me to be more present in just the washing of the dishes and not being like, oh, the drudgery of the task or saying, oh, I wish Michael had rinsed this plate or, you know, whatever was going on in my mind, just to let that all go and just to be there in the washing of the dish.
Yes. Well, you know, there's the dish has done nothing to you. And I don't advocate that there's a certain way to wash a dish, or that you should be filled with a kind of a rhapsodic, you know, epiphany when you have the dish. No. It's just a dish, you know, but to no longer do battle with your life as it is, and with your home as it is. It's really a profound thing. It's an aha moment to begin to take personal responsibility for and care for yourself.
You say that meditation is really important in our lives. So let's talk about meditation a bit and what it can do for us. What is the practice of meditation, and how can it be helpful in our lives?
Mm-hmm. Meditation, at least in my tradition, is called Zazen, and it's a seated meditation. Just looks exactly like the form of every Buddha that you see in a restaurant. Or maybe in your own backyard, you have a little statue of Buddha. He's still teaching meditation. Meditation is you sit down, you quiet yourself. When you quiet your body, you quiet your mind. And we use the breath as a mantra or as a device. We follow and count the breath. Now, I don't know anybody who's ever tried meditation who thought they could do it. And I tell people when they say, oh, I tried meditation, I can't do it. I say, well, that is meditation. Meditation is noticing the way you think, and your first thought's going to be, I can't do it. The truth is, that's our first thought about everything in life. And you practice, the more you practice, the more you notice the way your thoughts can color and shape the life, your perception of your life. And you see that they're really rather flimsy and impermanent, and you let them go. I tell people that there's a lot of talk about mindfulness. People want to be mindful. They want to be mindful in their home. I tell them mindfulness is meditation. Without meditation, mindfulness is just a word. It's just a concept. So I practice on the cushion so that I can practice at the sink. Mm-hmm. I practice on the cushion so that I can practice at the laundry, on the laundry. Someone has to do it. And I'm no longer afraid for that someone to be me.
I notice when I do my regular practice, you know, and I keep it up regularly, and then when I start skipping it, I notice when I go back to it, it's like my mind is really busy again. I mean, I do reach some sort of peace in a regular practice if I do it regularly, and I notice when I don't.
It's
like the laundry is piled up.
It's like all things. You know, if I haven't, made an omelet in a while, I might make one that's really sloppy. But what I also want you to notice is, you see how you're judging?
Mm-hmm.
That way, well, when I go back, it's not like it was before. And so what?
So I've accomplished something, and then I've lost it.
But even then, the sense of accomplishment. We do it to do it, and to be able to do it without an idea of an outcome. Or a gain that comes out of it. It will deliver benefits. But you see how our judging mind cuts short by its expectations and by its evaluations. We cut ourselves short from the things that we know are so essential to our well-being. Imagine that you had a night with no sleep. And then the next time it was time to go to bed, you said, well, last night I didn't sleep, so I think I'm just going to not do this anymore. I'm not going to try to get sleep. You see? We know better. We always know better. And I'll tell you what my teacher and my teacher's teacher and his teacher before him would say. Don't do meditation the way you do everything else. Don't be hard on yourself. Don't be unkind to yourself. Don't drive and judge and criticize yourself. Be kind. Sit for 1 minute. Sit for 2 minutes. Sit for 3 minutes. The time is irrelevant. It's when you bring yourself to the cushion, that's as far as you need to go, you see? And that delivers itself the prize. And then your taste will naturally grow.
Do you suggest that it's best to have like a place in your home that's set aside for this?
Absolutely. In the same way there's a table in our kitchen, And that truly is the best place to gather the family and look. Almost none of us do, but we know that's the heart of the home.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There's a place where you should go to bed at night. It's in the bed. Mm-hmm. By assigning a place and placing your cushion in plain sight, one thing, it's a reminder. The other thing is that when you actually practice, you generate a very calming energy that is real. And you will be drawn back to that place. And even by coming to that place, you are rendered into a state of preparedness to do your practice. So that's very vital.
It builds up an energy of the space itself.
Yes.
Is that, and then oftentimes if you're like driving your car, you can remember that place in
some
ways.
Well, I often when I speak to people inside, and I do in churches or cathedrals or wherever I go to speak, I often tell them, you know, we have this notion of these special places in life. They're usually not where we are. And I think, what is it about this cathedral really that makes it feel different? Is it the brick, really? Is it the walls? Is it the ceiling? No. It's the empty space inside in which people have gathered and brought their attention to it. That's what we can do in our own homes, and we should. Otherwise, our practice will be in the back of the closet.
So is there any advice that you want to share with our listeners, any gem here at the end of our conversation?
Well, I'll tell you this. Having the good life is simple when you savor the one you have.
Thank you. Karen, it's been such a pleasure being with you today.
My honor.